Freeport.
From the stop. Listen. Close your eyes. Hold hands. It's time for
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. At least he didn't tell him to hold your nose.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
And it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease, whether working or at leisure. Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time
and
to
today,
ask him,
everybody who's listening, he will, if you stop holding your nose, we're going to do a show for parents and teenagers and young adults. It's a show that we know is going to capture your interest and enable you to figure out how to get your young people involved in their religious practices. And we have Tony with us, two people. We have Anthony Muse, who is the youth minister at St. Rosa Lima Parish, and Laura Gianuzzi, who is a teacher at St. Anthony's High School. And together, they have a very interesting ministry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, guys.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your ministry and what you do?
Sure, this is great. I'm usually on a youth minister schedule, so being up on a Saturday morning is not my thing, but it's great to be with you. Like you said, my name is Anthony Muse. I graduated a few years ago from the Franciscan University of Steubenville, and growing up on Long Island, I really had a heart for bringing the gospel to our diocese. So when I moved back, really in the spirit of a new evangelization that John Paul II spoke so wonderfully about, I said, "All right, I gotta round up some friends, and we need to offer this place, especially young people, an opportunity to grow in love with their relationship with Christ." So that's basically where the Catholic ministry team came from. Laura, similar situation, moved back to Long Island, born, raised here. Same heart for bringing people into a Eucharistic relationship with young people. So really our goal is, in the spirit of the new evangelization, to serve the church through worship and action, and we do that through a variety of ways.
Okay, Laura, you want to say a few things about what you do?
Sure. Again, my name is Laura Gianuzzi. Very happy to be here. I'm a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, and had a great experience there. And similar to Anthony just had it on my heart to just bring back a lot of what I experienced there back to Long Island. So I started teaching at the elementary level, and at that time down in Florida, I had gotten into learning a little bit more about John Paul II's theology of the body, and I just had a personal devotion to Pope John Paul II, and that message really just transformed me, and just really just brought me back, brought me back to the faith in a real strong way. So I just felt really called to pass on what I had learned about God's beautiful gift of life and His plan for sexuality in our lives, and really to start with the young people and bring that message to them. So just done a lot of work with the youth, with college students, campus ministry on the college level, and now I'm happy to be at St. Anthony's High School helping to run the retreat program there, as well as bringing this message to the students right in the classroom every day.
And you know, Laura has three CDs that parents, you should get. This will help you in working with your teenagers. The first one is Keeping Your Teens Catholic. What's that about?
Sure. This is actually the third one that we just released about a month ago. And Keeping Your Teens Catholic was made really to give a practical guide for parents these days to raise their teens Catholic, and really, as the title says, keep their teens Catholic, because as we know, many of these young people are growing up in the faith, they're receiving the sacraments, but then sometimes something kind of happens there after confirmation. So our goal is to really give parents a real practical guide, and there's basically 10 steps, 10 guidelines there to help parents to really keep their teens in that those delicate years, those high school years, involved in the faith, and really just starting with the family, how important the family is, modeling the faith, and that's what that CD is all about.
And you have two other CDs, one dealing with chastity and one with abortion. Maybe you could talk a little bit about them, because these are critical issues for the young people in our community due to the culture that they're in.
Right. The chastity one was the first one we recorded, and that really came from my own passion for the theology of the body, and realizing that the message of chastity is really the key to building the culture of life. And so the two of them, of course, go hand in hand. And really, my focus on the chastity CD was not for it to just be like any other CD or talk that's out there, but really to focus, and not just to focus even just on abstinence, but really to focus on what the virtue is, the virtue that, you know, that chastity is for everybody. Doesn't matter if you're married or single or a priest or young or old, that chastity is a virtue that we all want to cultivate in our lives. And then that message goes right into the abortion, the Catholic perspective, which is really our church's teaching on the dignity of life and how precious life is, as I like to say, from womb to tomb, from the moment of fertilization until natural death. And really, really proud of both of those CDs. Thanks for Anthony's help getting them going.
One important question. How can the people get those CDs? Or where can they get those CDs?
Sure. We're really happy to say now that both all the CDs are available as digital downloads on iTunes. So just go to iTunes like you're buying any other CD and put my name in, Laura Giannuzzi. And you can buy the CDs there and download them right to your iPhone, iPod, or you can also go to cdbaby.com. You can digitally download them there, or if you want.
cdbaby.com?
cdbaby.com.
Yeah, that's it, cdbaby.com, Obama.
cdbaby.com. It's a great source for a lot of independent artists, music artists, as well as these kinds of talks. And you can digitally download them at cdbaby.com, or you can also buy a hard copy like you guys have here.
Do you have an email or web site you can tell them about, Anthony?
Sure.
Yeah, we have the CatholicMinistryTeam.com, CatholicMinistryTeam.com, and all of the information about the various ministries that we're involved with, the information's up there, as well as the contact information in case you do want to order hard copies or connect with us directly. The email address would be also CatholicMinistryTeam@gmail.com.
CatholicMinistryTeam@gmail.com
would be the email address.
Now, of you parents who don't know where your computer is, you have to tell your kids that you have to go to these websites and you'll get this stuff. You know, as you were talking about the chastity and abortion, all three of them, I could easily visualize parents and children, young adults, listening to it together, and so that they can have a common bond as a Catholic perspective on these topics.
Yeah, well, me now speaking as a father, I have two young kids. Everything changes when you have kids.
And really?
believe it or not.
Oh, Anthony, tell us about it.
And nobody hands you a blueprint for raising your kids in the faith. You have the basics. You know, you have to go to Mass. You know, you want to pray the rosary. You want to encourage your kids to pray their prayers. But these CDs, and specifically Keeping Your Teens Catholic, gives you a practical guide dealing with contemporary issues like the internet. And as parents, you say, I don't know what to do. And this is a great source, a wonderful resource for parents that are just trying to figure out how to get their kids to heaven. Ultimately, that's our goal.
Even though they make life a living hell at times.
Yes, they do. But it's worth it. It's a beautiful gift to be a parent. But it's not easy.
So if parents have any questions or anything on their mind, they can email you guys. You guys
Absolutely.
Will respond.
Sure.
They could also email us at
listenup1240 at AOL.com. We'll respond to every email. We love to get emails, so keep those emails coming. We know people are listening when we get emails. So that's listenup1240@AOL.com.
Yeah, and we are really excited about engaging parents, engaging young people, and allowing them to hear this message. So please, if you're listening right now, contact us, speak with us, because we'd love to share with you.
You know, and I also sense an excitement among young people throughout Long Island. Like, for example, you mentioned in your youth ministry program, both of you worked that together in some ways, that they're excited and they're getting into adoration.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Sure, it's really exciting to see this. The students, the young people, just respond when the truth is out there. When they see the truth, they see it, they recognize it, and they just soak it up. So whether it's hearing this human dignity abortion message for the first time and being like, whoa, I never heard it like that, or coming to adoration for the first time and just being like, I just never experienced, you know, that before. Tell me more. They eat it up, and they want more of it.
Tell the parents what adoration is, because a lot of adults don't even know how beautiful the experience of being before Jesus in the Eucharist can be.
Well, I'll start that with a quick story. We have a monthly holy hour up at the Seminary of the Immaculate Conception with the vocations office. That's with Father Brian Barr, that's correct. Right. And a few years ago, when the Holy Father came to New York, we said, we got to do something new. We got to get people excited. So we started very simply with getting young people in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and it started with 30, 40 kids. And they came, and it was amazing because they were so hungry. You know, we've been wired for God, and they wanted more, and they kept coming back. And over time, this one little event has grown from 30, 40 people to 400-500 people, and we have parents showing up. Good parents who've been in the church for a long time who are saying, what's this new thing in the church called adoration? They just have never experienced it before. So it's getting back to the basics, drawing them into a Eucharistic relationship with Christ, and they're falling in love with it.
You know, and that's what a lot of adults don't realize, that the bottom line is that if you're going to really live a life that's at peace and filled with joy, you have to have that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And it happens. And if you just sit before the Blessed Sacrament, I don't care what you bring with you, what baggage you bring in, when you're finished with that time that you're there, you have peace.
Amen.
And it happens.
Now, speaking of a personal relationship with Jesus, I'm always curious, how did you guys start your personal relationship with Jesus?
Right. I think we're both proud to say that we came from some, had great families here on Long Island, great backgrounds of faith. And I think for me, that's where it really all started in the home. My dad's a Catholic high school principal, and my mom has always instilled in me the love of God and love of faith. So from an early age in high school, you know, I was very much, you know, an altar server when I was younger, and then in high school, helping out with campus ministry. And I actually went to St. Anthony's High School, so I'm back at my alma mater now helping run the programs that I was formed in myself. That was a real formative time for me there, those couple years in high school. And then, you know, then I was really blessed to go to a place like Notre Dame where, you know, you have the best of everything. You know, you have great academics as well as, yes, football. But then you have a chapel in every dorm. And
they
you have
football at Notre Dame?
Yes, as I think you maybe have heard before. Yeah. But then you have a chapel in every dorm, and you have this faith community that I guess in some ways took it for granted. It wasn't until I went to visit some of my other friends at other colleges that I realized what I really had. And, you know, I'd like to say that I was like this big campus ministry leader and, a theology major when I was there, but I wasn't. This is actually what I wanted to do. I had my own radio show in college, and I was on the football field during games.
Maybe we can interest you in a radio show.
I helped start a TV show on campus, and I wanted to be a TV producer. That was really what I wanted to do. But while I was doing all those things, the faith was still very much a part of my life. And then little by little, God just kind of worked on my heart and brought me to what I'm doing today.
I want to just tell you, I have a radio station online on live365.com. And once you get out there, you type in Alive in Love. And we put some of our shows, I put workshops, but I've offered this to the young adults of the diocese. If you want to put together programming for young adults, you do that and give it to me, and I'll put it online free of charge. It's a professional radio station. You can play any music you want because I belong to BMI and ASCAP. I'm broke, as you can tell. but I offer that to you and your ministry. Why not?
Palmer, that's a commercial. That's going to cost you.
Laura,
before we get to you, Anthony, I was startled by your answer because you just confirmed what I just read in Bible passages from Proverbs, and it says very simply, train a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, he will not turn from it, and you'll be proud.
Yeah.
Oh, thank your you. Parents.
That's beautiful. I credit my parents with a lot. I mean, I think that when I came to them my senior year at Notre Dame and told them I wanted to be a teacher after all these years of doing all this media and everything, they thought I was a little crazy. But then at the same time, they realized, you know, that God had really placed this on my heart and that if it was really my vocation, that that's what I needed to do. And then again, just saying yes to being a teacher just opened up all these other doors.
Nothing wrong with teaching. Palmer was a professor.
Of course.
I was a professor. My kids
they drummed me out, though. They wouldn't let me do it anymore.
That's why I turned to my father and I said, well, look at you, 40 years in Catholic education. The apple doesn't fall too far from the
Absolutely.
Tree. So we must have done something right.
Right.
How about you, Anthony?
Well, as Laura said, her parents played a significant role. Parents are the chief catechist. Parents have an irreplaceable role in the faith formation of young people. And I remember at an early age, I wake up in the middle of the night and I go in and I'd see my dad on his knees praying. Mm-hmm. And that witness for me was so inspiring. I remember being at Mass as a kid with my mom and singing Christmas songs. And I was blessed to have an extended family who all had this strong relationship with God. And we can all point back to a person or a time where we just experienced God fully alive. And for me, I was at a Steubenville Youth Conference when I was 16 years old. And I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and God just knocked me off my stool. I wanted to be a rock star. I mean, I had all these dreams and these goals. And in that moment, God broke me down and just let me know He loved me and had a plan for me. As a musician, I knew I wanted to use that gift, and I was able to channel that to serving God through praise and worship, through the liturgy. It was really in that moment, as a 16-year-old kid crying in front of the Eucharist, that my journey began, and that took me to the Franciscan University of Steubenville, and I was formed there to do ministry the way that I'm involved now.
Saint Teresa of Avila says, "You know, you cannot really understand the experience of God within you unless you have it." And what you have to learn to do mm-hmm. is to make yourself available to God so He can touch you. And isn't that what He has done?
Absolutely.
You know,
Definitely.
And that's time, Tevra, that's the time of amazing grace. Why don't we just let the amazing grace come in for our listeners now?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind. was blind, but now
He wants to hold our hand, and He wants to be our brothers. Not our friends, but our big brothers. Yeah. And that's what I get all the time.
Yeah. And that personal kind of gentle touch. Now, you work with young people, and you teach theology at St. Anthony's.
Yes.
And you expose them to these kinds of things. What kind of response are you getting?
My response, you know, a lot of times the kids have, I teach all seniors, so it's a very interesting time of their lives. And for a lot of them, they've been in Catholic school their whole life. Some of them, you know, maybe they went to public school, but at least they've been in Catholic school theology class for, you know, those 4 years. And my experience is, at least the way they interpret things, is a lot of no. And I think the way I approach it is just trying to get them to see the faith and get them to see these messages like chastity and the pro-life message just as one big yes, that God is not trying to crush on their freedom in any way, but is really just trying to give them a roadmap so that they can really live their life to the fullest. And I think when we present that message to them in a positive way, in any of the disciplines, it doesn't have to be of chastity or abortion, but just in any way, in a positive way, and then we give them real real role models and real tangible, just letting them see a young, faithful person who's living their faith, but is also living a joyous life that is not, you know, feeling constrained and all pushed down and crushed, you know, crushing on their freedom. They see that and they're attracted to that. And so, of course, I'll have some people who disagree with me, or I'll have some people who don't see it the way I see it, or I could have a kid and sitting in my class all year and still, you know, still by the end of the year not be going to Mass, or still say they're pro-choice. But the overall experience is that there's a lot of hearts being transformed.
You know, when I was young a long time ago, we were taught God's going to get you, and you got to be extra good, you know? And I went through a lot of education until I went into the pastoral formation program in our diocese, and they spoke about a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, and that it's gentle, that He loves you. And my only response to it, now they tell me, after all these years, now they tell me, Jesus loves me. You mean I'm not going to be slaughtered by Him when I meet Him? You know, Anthony, how about you with your youth ministry program?
And as Laura said, it's reversing that mindset. It's not a no. It's a gentle invitation. And that's really what we can do. You can look throughout all the church documents and how Evangelii Nuziandi speaks about how modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than to teachers. And if they listen to teachers, it's because they're witnesses first. Our witness as young people, trying to draw in other young people to that relationship with God, it has to be our witness. We're authentically living this, trying the best we can to know and to love God and accept that invitation that has been offered to us. You know, it's a challenging time in the church because in the spirit of a new evangelization, specifically in our diocese, we have, 130 parishes on Long Island? The gospel had been brought here, and it's still very present, but there's something that's missing. There are so many young people that are formed through these parishes and these great programs, but once they're confirmed, they get that envelope from grandma and they graduate church. So we're trying to reverse that idea. At St. Rose of Lima, what we're doing, we're implementing the Life Team program. We're trying to engage these kids before they're confirmed and get to know them, show them that we care about them, that the church is a place where they belong, so that by the time they are confirmed, they can plug into our high school youth ministry program. We already have that relationship with them. And St. John Bosco said, if you get them to love you, they'll follow you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where we are. It's trying to engage these young people, get them to believe us, to know that we're living this, and God has the same thing for them, the same joy, the same experience planned and right there for them.
You know, I remember the common term, blow in his ear and he'll follow you anywhere, you know? And I sure, just put that over to having Jesus talk to you. You know, He's not in a loud tornado or lightning or thunder. It's a gentle whisper in your ear. Mm-hmm. And when you catch that whisper, you all of a sudden realize, hey, God is really alive, mm-hmm. and he loves me, and he wants me.
And he's there, and he's waiting for us. All we need to do is to let him in, accept him, and come on, Jesus, I'm here. Let's hold hands.
Right.
And
Saint Augustine,
it's a beautiful thing.
St. Augustine speaks of the heart being restless until it rests with God. And that is our heart, because we have been wired for God. We've been made to know and to love God, and he's made us to live forever in his love. And since our hearts are going to be restless, I think young people are just getting tired of running. They're getting tired of saying, all right, Lord, I've tried everything. You know, maybe I just need you. I need to just surrender to you. And we as youth ministers, we're there to be the bridge and say, you know, God's waiting for you. You know, trust me. Just go with what the Holy Spirit has started in your heart.
And, I just want to quickly mention, you mentioned St. Rosalima. I just brought to mind, and I just confirmed it, that her parents were very devoted to her. And she was, as a result, very devoted to them. And she obeyed them in every way because she saw the love that her parents were portraying for her. So it's a beautiful thing to know that when parents love their children, the children love their parents, and they listen, and the parents show their love and their concern, and the people show love and concern, they reciprocate.
And that's the same relationship that Jesus has with us, his children, no matter what age.
You're good, Palmer.
And, you know, people think this mystical stuff is all strange, but I know you're going to talk about Padre Pio and some of his mystical experiences. I don't want to steal it from you, but go ahead.
I love the mystics.
Okay. Several weeks ago, we did do Padre Pio. And then when I was talking to Laura and I asked what her favorite saint was, she happened to mention Padre Pio. I says, oh, that's a problem now. But then I thought about it and I prayed. And then I got, well, look, you did Padre Pio, but you didn't do the whole thing about Padre Pio. How about, this is not my title, by the way, how about the mysteries, marvels, and miracles in the life of St. Padre Pio? So I said, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. So there was, does not seem to be any argument that Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio, is probably one of the greatest saints of modern times. Several weeks ago, we talked about him, as I mentioned. Today, in honor of our guest, and Laura, I decided to talk about the other side of Padre Pio, and as I mentioned, his marvels and his mysteries. However, first, let us preface this talk by stating that on June 16, 2002, Pope John Paul II canonized Padre Pio as one of the greatest saints of all times. There are saints who have been known for healing, known for the stigmata, that have seen apparitions, had the odor of sanctity, could bilocate. Saints who could understand languages they did not know. Most saints had some of these marvels, but not all of them. Padre Pio, who died on September 23rd, 1968, had all of these gifts and more. In fact, not since St. Francis of Assisi has there been such a miracle worker. Now, St. Francis of Assisi, as we know, did have the stigmata, but he wasn't an ordained priest, so that makes Padre Pio the first ordained priest to get the stigmatas. And as a matter, St. Padre Pio is a man who healed literally thousands of people while he was still alive, a man who could read souls, knowing in case after case exactly what a person in confession had done. And if you weren't truthful to him in confession, he said, get out. And we heard of an instance with a guest whose grandfather was told to get out of the confession. Wow, that must be some experience.
No, that scares me. Yeah, I know, and we don't want people to think that confession is where you're going to be thrown out.
No, but that's the way Padre
Pio. But he was that good.
Because yeah. he had that gift. And he was seen in dozens of cases bilocating, appearing from where he actually was to another place. There were accounts that he made a believer, even out of the most ardent doubter, a sighting of him at the Vatican, even though he never left San Giovanni Monastery. the transfiguration of his face into that of Jesus during the consecration of the host. A worker named Giovanni Savino, who lost an eye that materialized after the bandage had been removed, and he visited St. Padre Pio. Like the Apostle Paul, Padre Pio placed at the center of his life the cross of his Lord Jesus Christ as his strength, his wisdom, and his glory. Inflamed by the love of Jesus Christ, he became like him and sacrificed himself for the salvation of the world. Padre Pio, a worthy follower of St. Francis of Assisi, was born on May 25th, 1887. He was baptized on May 26th. Someone else was born on May 26th, Palmer, you know who it is. He led a very holy and devoted childhood. It is said
Trevor?
it's me.
Oh, okay.
It is said that during playtime, if another child said a foul word when they were out playing, he left and ran to church and prayed. That's how dedicated and holy he was from childhood. In September of 1907, he made a solemn oath to our Lord. He was ordained a priest in 1910 and stayed at home with his family until 1916 because of his sickness. He was sent to San Giovanni Rotonda and remained there until his death in 1968. The demons were furious with him. They attacked him in every such way because of his devotion to our Lord and Savior. And he was considered their worst enemy. However, they were able to not sway his loyalty with their evil threats and trickery. They waged constant attacks, from which Padre Pio, the invincible soldier of Christ, was left with visible marks on his body. These diabolical attacks were often followed by spiritual scenes of angels and saints dispensing the evil ones away. On the level of social charity, he committed himself to relieving the pain and suffering of many families, chiefly to the foundation of the House of the Elderly and Suffering. For Padre Pio, his faith was the foundation of his life. He willed everything and did everything in the light of faith. He was devoted to prayer. He passed the day, a large part of it, at night, in conversation with Jesus and God. He would say, "In books we see God, in prayer we find him. Prayer is the key which opens God's heart." Fate led him always to accept God's mysterious will. Padre Pio was always ready to accept God's will. He was able to read hearts and souls and did not hesitate to refuse absolution, as we said, and ask people to leave the confession. He knew the thoughts of others. He knew those that were repentive in their sins and those who were really not. There were other mysterious happenings in his life. The blood from his wound entirely filled the room with an aroma of perfume. It is said that the scent of roses. It was the crisis of his life, though, even more caused more moral reasons. Conversion of a sinner to cure someone ill, Padre Pio confirmed that the fevers that he was getting for those were for the love of those that were being saved. "I am consumed by the love for God and the love of my neighbor." The gift of prophecy was also given to Padre Pio, who on one occasion obliged three priests who wanted to know the order in which they were going to die. Padre Pio was correct in all cases. Padre exercised knowledge of souls in the other world. One time he told the mother he could not find her son in the other world. Eventually that son returned home. We can go on with much more, stating miracles after miracles, cures after cures during his lifetime and after his death. John Paul II, a holy and mystical man in his own right, met Padre Pio, knew Padre Pio, and quickly elevated him to sainthood. Thus, this was the amazing life of one of the most popular modern-day saints ever to walk the face of the earth.
And it all started with a yes on his part. And that's what we've been talking about through the entire program. Yes. Say yes. And once you say that, You could have a life like Padre Pio, a very rare kind of person, but God doesn't really draw us all into that. He just draws us into his loving embrace. And that's all he really wants to do, just let you know that he loves you.
But he was so consumed with the love of Christ and the love of God, that was his whole life. Mm-hmm. And so it should be ours.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think what's difficult is for many normal people, it's like, well, that's not me. There's this holy guy doing all this holy stuff. But the thing is, Padre Pio was a man. Padre Pio was walking the earth in the last 100 years. And I think what's incredible about Padre Pio is that he's not that far out there where we can't see pictures, where we can't read documents. It's a saint that we can turn to and know in our time. And God calls us through that invitation to be extraordinary in our own person, to become saints in who we are. We've fallen in love with Padre Pio. I'm blessed to be involved with a monthly holy hour and prayer group. It's Mass at Holy Name of Jesus. Of Jesus in Woodbury with the Reale family. Anyone that is interested in pursuing a relationship with Padre Pio, calling on his intercession and growing in community that way, also can find out more about that prayer group through our website, thecatholicministryteam.com.
And you know what happens, too? As you say yes, you find that Jesus comes into your life and walks through everything. Mm-hmm. And he goes through it all with you. Tommy Thorell, who was a music minister over at St. Bridget's in Westbury, had brain cancer. And he was a person who would write music. And the song that we're going to play just kind of exemplifies that God's with you no matter what's going on in your life, through it all. Listen to these words, Lori Mangano.
I felt so lost that it seemed every road I traveled down, there were only tears. Deep in my heart, I felt broken and all alone, just lost in an ocean of fears. All of my dreams falling down like these autumn leaves that die in the cold winter night. Just when it seemed that I had given up, you held me and said it's all right. Through it all, I found you right beside me. Through it all, with darkness all around me. Through it all, thought I'd fall. Through it all, when no one else would hear me, though I'd call, you whisper, you were near me, precious Lord. You stood there right beside me, through it all. Me shine. You'll never know just how much you mean to me. I never could make it alone. Show me the way back home.
You know, people don't realize that a person like Tommy, just like you and me, had brain cancer. And he wrote that song in his moments of trials, that God was with him through it all. And look at the legacy, a beautiful song, just to give encouragement that no matter what's going on in your life, God is with you. And I saw the two of you writing feverishly back and forth. What are you cooking up? What
is
are
it,
you doing?
Is it about us by any chance?
No, not at all. Well, actually, the first thing I was just thinking while the music was playing was Anthony was speaking about how it's important to be authentic and that our lives are the best witness we can be for the young people. Right. And I was just thinking about that authenticity factor. Like, the best thing that we can do for the young people is show them how in our lives, and just be honest with them, and how in our lives when we've said yes to God, how it's panned out, and then be very honest with them about how we're not perfect and how we're sinners too and we've messed up, and kind of the result of saying no to God and turning your back on God. So you were just talking about saying yes, and it just struck me that what works with young people is just being real with them, being honest, and saying, this is what's happened in my own life, and these are the times when I said yes, and let me tell you about a few times when I've said no, and what the consequences have been.
That's so important, because, you know, people who stand and talk about God are not perfect.
No.
We all have our stuff.
No, you can
stuff.
Ask the teens in our youth group. We are not perfect.
Exhibit A, I would say.
Yeah.
Exhibit A right here.
But that's why Jesus comes into your life. He says, I understand you did this. I understand you did that. All right, I read your heart, and I see how sorry you are. Now, come on back. Let me give you a hug. And let me love you some more. And you come back and you pick up where you left off for them. And you feel even closer to him. It's really amazing.
So isn't that a wonderful thing? To
it's
know
wonderful.
That no matter what, Jesus always welcomes us back.
And that's
with open arms.
And that sacrament of reconciliation is such a healing moment. You see people go, before they go into confession, all upset and come out in peace. I lived in Yorktown Heights years ago, and the Monsignor was hearing the confessions of the children. And he told us the next day, it was a wonderful experience. One little girl came up and sat on his lap as if he were her daddy. And he said, oh, she was so lovely and peaceful. He said, another little girl wet her pants before she came up. And he said, that's the range of the way people are when they come to the sacrament of reconciliation. And no matter whether you're smiling or wetting your pants, you still get the forgiveness.
Sure. You know, it's amazing. I can't tell you how many times I've heard young people come out of the confessional, and I haven't been in a year, I haven't been since my first Holy Communion, and that weight is lifted off. When you allow God to heal you through the sacrament of reconciliation, unbelievable things begin to happen because you're in a grace-filled point of your life. You're able to hear and know God in such a clear way in those moments. And thanks be to God, we do have in our diocese ways to plug in. You know, for young people that are saying, you know, this is what I want. You know, we have this Life Teen program in St. Rose of Lima. Within the diocese and through the Catholic ministry team, we have opportunities to pursue those opportunities of grace.
And they're picking up everywhere. I was at Corpus Christi this morning to early morning mass, and they have a new program starting the end of February, Rap with Jesus. and it's going to be a special night for young adults to come and rap with Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that great?
Right.
And it's so many ways, so many avenues.
Well, part of, you know, what we realize, of course, is just you have to meet the culture where they are. You know, you don't sacrifice your faith for the culture, but you see where the culture is and you respond to kind of what they're interested in and what they're doing. And that's really, you know, what the new evangelization is all about. You know, in response to that, one of the things we're also excited about is that we've brought a love and responsibility study group to Long Island. It's been something that's been popular in other places like the Archdiocese of New
what
York,
is it
Sydney,
again?
Sydney, Australia. Love and Responsibility was one of John Paul II's, his book that he had written. And so basically there's these groups that have kind of popped up in other places. So we're really happy to say that through Catholic Ministry Team, and it really is a team. We have a whole bunch of people. If you look on the website, there's a whole slew of faces and different people who do different ministries. And our friend Charlie is the one who's in charge of young adult ministry. And so he brought this to Long Island. And on the third Thursday of every month, there's a group meeting out at St. Philip and James out in St. James, which is just kind of taking John Paul II's words and talking about love and relationships, and it's a great way for young people to get together, talk about the faith, socialize afterwards, and those are the kinds of things we're trying to do in response to this call for a new evangelization.
And if you want to get in touch with the young adult ministry, Mary M. Sheridan at drvc.org. Mary Ann Sheridan, drvc.org, and you'll find out all these wonderful programs going on.
Doesn't she run one, Youth on Tap?
Yeah, she does Youth, Faith on Tap.
Faith on Tap, yeah, we've had them. We had some great witnesses from them, too.
We usually do a period of our show at the end where we pray for healing. And Trevor, we're going to put on the Litany of St. Joseph, but put it on softly. It's Father Charles and Lori Mangano saying the litany, and we're going to ask St. Joseph to intercede for parents and young adults so that they can be touched and led more deeply into belonging to Jesus more deeply. You can make it a little louder.
Lord, have mercy.
We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And we're going to hold hands around the table, if you don't mind. And Lord, we thank you for these beautiful young people who were here today, so turned on and so enthusiastic with love for you that they can't wait to bring it to young people. And we ask you, Lord, bless our young people. Bless our young people. Allow the bond between parent and child to be solidified as they listen to the CDs on chastity and be staying a Catholic, so that they can learn, hey, you know what? My parents love Jesus too. And I didn't know. I just thought they went to Mass on Sunday like because they had to. And they dragged me with them. But Lord, now let our young people say, Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for bringing me alive in your love. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for our young people in our diocese coming out and going to an evening of adoration, 400 strong. Bless them and enable them to bring others to the wonderful experience of a personal relationship with you. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Lori. Thank you for Anthony. Thank you for the ministry.
Praise you. And Lord, we know that the culture that surrounds our young people is contrary to what Anthony and Laura are working so hard in your vineyard to get out. They're taking the words of our blessed Pope John Paul II to the young people, and the young people respond to that message of love. And Tony, with his secret life of Padre Pio, exposes to all what can happen when you say yes to the Lord and you just praise Him. That's what we're asking our listeners to do now. If you're listening with young people, take their hand and just praise the Lord. Ask St. Joseph to touch your family. Ask St. Joseph to bring Jesus alive in your family. That's what we're asking for. We praise you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of Charles Mangano and Lori Mangano with their wonderful music ministry. Praise you, Lord. Any prayers you people have, just say them.
Lord God, I ask your blessing to be upon all the young people who serve in our diocese, specifically at St. Rosa de Lima, St. Anthony's High School. God, I ask you to show them the love that we've experienced. Show them the healing that we've experienced. Bless our families. Bless everyone in our life, that they may continue to grow in that relationship, Lord. Bless our priests at our parishes that serve in the Catholic high schools. And continue to use them to lead us to that deep and wonderful relationship with our God.
Patron of the dying. Thanksgiving for our families who have helped form us, for the gift of the Eucharist, for the wonderful role models that we have in Pope John Paul II. That in a small way, just our work here on Long Island can just help bring about a real growth in the spirit in our young people, and for the students especially, the young people that are sitting in front of us and that we're working with, that are just struggling in their home lives and their family lives, and especially for those who don't have that strong background of faith at home, that in some small way our words and our actions and everything that we try to do will open up a new window to them in their hearts. Selfless
servant. And now let's just be quiet as we listen to Father Charles and Lori with the completion of the Litany.
Man truly human, yet full of God. Man living in the world, living for God. Ora pro nobis, ora pro nobis, ora pro nobis. Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world, spare us, O Lord, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world, hear us, O Lord. So Lord, Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, in your divine providence, you were pleased to choose Blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother. Grant, we beg you, that we may be worthy to have him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector, you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
We know we focused entirely on this show, on how to help people to belong more deeply to Jesus. And in my role in the diocese as coordinator of the Renewal